Matthew 21:42, and Mark 12:11. So it takes you out of your natural senses and lifts you up into the realm of the spirit. So keeping that in mind, what I'd like to do to open this up is have you just lift your hands to the Lord. I want you to do the Hallelujah chorus. Hallelujah. 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 He is risen. He is risen. Your Holy Spirit would cover every heart, would cover every mind, and explode through every mouth this morning. That there would be an explosion of resurrection life flowing out of every heart. And yes, exposing the darkness for what it has done. Father, I thank you that as we go forward, confessing that we know very little of how your kingdom works. How you have taken an opportunity as resurrection people, that we're not going to live with the doom and gloom of the day, that we're not going to try to figure out why it's happening, but to recognize that all things work together for good, for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I stress the fact that it is according to his purpose, for it is his plan, his kingdom that's unfolding. He has not changed his mind about us. He has told us in his word how awesome the things that he's prepared would be unimaginable. And so when we try to figure him out, we fail miserably. And this morning, it was quite exciting because I had planned to go to John and I opened my Bible to Revelation 19, and he said, don't move. I heard, don't move. So here we go. Revelation 19, verse 1. After this, I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. Did you hear me? For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupts the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. I should have heard an amen. Hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all of you, his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of a rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder and shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Did you hear? Our God reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Get a clue. The wedding of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Verse 9. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who holds the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When you read his word and his promise, notice that the darkness was being exposed. The great prostitute was exposed for what she had done. You say, well, how does that have to do with me right now? What is the challenge that you're trying to bring forth out of me today? So I had a vision this morning, bright and early, and I saw this book, Strong Man, His Name, What's His Game? Some of you have already read this book, but what I wanted to make you aware of is when you and I expose the darkness, it's because sometimes we think there's something wrong with us. And the first area in this book that some of you have already, is actually on page 111. It's the spirit of fear, which is chapter 12 of this book. And it's a scripture that most of you know by heart. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then it's titled Two Kinds of Fear. There are actually two different kinds of fear, positive and negative. Positive fear is a natural sort of protection that keeps us from hurting ourselves. We don't stick out our hand in a blazing fire because we know it will do permanent damage to our body. We could characterize this fear more as a deep respect. I respect fire or electricity or even God, so I obey their laws. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Psalm 111:10. I obey God's commandment because I respect him for who he is. A natural positive fear can escalate to the point that a spirit of fear takes over if the individual does not understand what is going on. For example, an accident or great tragedy can be the trigger which causes a positive fear to balloon into negative fear, inspired and magnified by the strong man of fear. So now I'd like to give you kind of an awareness, because in this book they show you a tree. And it's called the tree of fear. And in that tree are all these different types of problems, fears and phobias, heart attacks, fear of man, anxiety and stress, untrusting and doubts, torment and horror, nightmares and terror, fears of death, etc. And the root problem of this is the works of the flesh. And you'll find that in Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21. By their fruit, you shall know them, Matthew 7:20. So according to Matthew 18:18, you bind that spirit of fear and you release or love, power, and a sound mind, which is the scripture I gave you. Now there's a lot more information there, but that was one of the corners that I wanted to expose today. Because you see, I told you a little earlier that I didn't want you to stay stuck in stuff that is trying to destroy. And when we pull the enemy's pants down, we get to see his true colors. The next one that I want to give you a quick review of is the spirit of bondage. That's actually in Romans 8, verse 15. This strong man usually works very closely with the spirit of fear, which we will consider in the next chapter. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And that's in Romans 8, verse 15. The Greek word Abba is a very personal word used in speaking of one's father. The modern equivalent for it in English would probably be the terms of endearment, daddy. In a normal family relationship, one of the most heartwarming times of the day is when the father returns home from work and his little boy or girl comes running up crying, daddy, daddy, and jumps into his arms. The father may be the director of a huge corporation or president of the United States, but it doesn't matter to the little child. He is just plain daddy. This is the kind of relationship God longs to have with us. That of a loving father gathering us to himself, loving us with an eternal and everlasting love. Get the authentic is the heading of this little piece. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, 31, 32. Now again, we have a tree. All of the interior of the tree are fears, anxieties, drugs and alcohol, cigarettes and food. Captivity to Satan. Compulsive sin. Bondage to sin. Servants of corruption, and fear of death. The root problems are the works of the flesh, Galatians 5 again. By their fruit you shall know them, Matthew 7:20. So what do? We bind the strong man of bondage, and we loose the liberty, the spirit of adoption, by Romans 8:15. So that is another piece of the puzzle that I felt important to expose. You see, you can say, I renounce Satan. You can say a lot of different things, but it's so general that it doesn't give you a real understanding of who's in charge of who and why the enemy is so hateful towards the believer. because the believer is going to expose him. And that's what I was pressed to do this morning. I read this for myself, but I'm asking you now to awaken to the next level. Because again, why do we gather? Why are we looking to mature? If you're going to leave this service today with the same ideas that you had when you walked in, then I failed. If you're just celebrating and looking at each other and jumping up and down to see who wore what kind of hat she is or has, what kind of necktie. And by the way, I wore my necktie today and I wanted to make sure because you see it has bunny tracks on it. You say, what do you mean it has bunny tracks? If you look real close, it looks like somebody painted bunny prints. And I said, Lord, he said, I want you to act like a child. Because you saw yesterday your three great-grandchildren. And they were so excited to bring some flowers to their great-grandmother. And he wasn't supposed to come in a house, but you know what? There was no way that I could hold him. He slipped right through my fingers and walked through my legs and out to the kitchen he ran. He wasn't concerned about coronavirus. He wasn't concerned about anything, but he's 5 years old on a delivery. And he released those flowers into his grandmother's hands. And you know what? It reminded me of what I did with my grandmother. You know, none of us are without the loss of someone who's already on the other side. And if we don't prepare and realize what they had to go through and why they had such a war. Now you say, well, where are you coming from? Well, Irene had a dream yesterday. And in her dream, she dreamt that her and I were getting married and somehow it was something to do with Canada. So Ron, we might be having a wedding in your neck of the woods. And in that dream, she was with her grandmother who brought her up. And she was shopping for a new dress for her. And she said, oh my God, the dresses, they were so gorgeous. And there were so many. And her grandmother was the type of person that there was always, things were too good for her. Oh no, I can't have that because it's too good for me. Because that was the type of person she was. So I knew her for quite a few years. And when we were married, we lived in the same house. And she became very special to me. Well, most of you know that in 1960, we had a house fire. And the night before the fire broke out, Irene's grandmother had to be admitted to the local hospital because she was very ill. And we were upset. Very upset because she had to be hospitalized. Well, actually, she was brought to the hospital by ambulance, probably around 5, 7 o'clock, whatever it was. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, I had to jump off the roof of the porch to find a ladder to get my 8-month pregnant wife out of our bedroom because her father woke us up. After the fire, we realized that the igniting area of the fire was right underneath the room where her grandmother would have been. And the only thing that was left in her bedroom, which was right next to her where she would have been sleeping, was the pipes holding up the radiator. So was it God's doing to get her to the hospital where she would be safe? Because probably had she been in the house, we would have all perished trying to get her out. Then that was in August. On Christmas morning, my uncle and I were in the room with her because we knew that she was on her last moments in the earth. It was around 4 a.m. in the morning. And my uncle was sitting across from me on the other side of the bed. I was sitting on Meme's left side. And she had been in a coma for roughly, I would say, 3.5 days. And the doctors had told us there's nothing else that's happening. Just if you want to sit with her, that's up to you. Her youngest son was also kind of drowsy. And all of a sudden, this 82-year-old woman sat up straight in the bed, totally out of the coma, and yelled, "Satan, you are not going to lie to me. Get out of here." And all those words came out in French. So, you know, you're half startled and you don't know what's happening. So my uncle said, "What did she say?" So I repeated it, but I wasn't sure. And she just fell back on her bed and back into the coma. Well, of course, this good Catholic little boy had an awareness of what darkness could do, but I did not understand. So my uncle and I started to say the Lord's Prayer. And about 20 minutes later, all of a sudden, she sits back up in bed and she is yelling, "Satan, va-t'en," which is really "Satan, get out." And my uncle this time was totally awake. He said, "Oh, wow, I understand. Wow." That was my opening instructions to recognize that hell would not let up even on a person's deathbed. And she had an awareness of who was attacking her and let that negative spirit know. Why am I saying this to you? Because there was no fear in this woman. There was no fear of fighting that dark spirit that was probably at the foot of her bed screaming. Did I know? No way. Did my uncle know? No. But the Holy Ghost knew. And the Holy Ghost was making her fight back. The next spirit that I want to expose is the spirit of whoredoms. In Hosea 5:4, this strong man is very, very active in the United States of America. One of its attributes is adultery, prostitution, dissatisfaction, idolatry, fornication, worldliness, appetites, and love of money. And also the spirit, soul, or body prostitution. So here we go. I want to identify so that you can say, "I didn't know, but I know now." This strong man's name seems to imply that only people who frequent prostitutes are influenced by a spirit of whoredoms. But there is more to it than that. This particular condition can be a spiritual as well as a physical bondage. The book of Hosea points up just such a case. "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them witchcraft. For the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God." Hosea 4:12. "They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord." Hosea 5:4. Hosea's marriage to a harlot illustrates to the nation what they were doing when they forsook God to embrace their idols and false gods of their neighboring nation. Accordingly, Hosea felt the same pain and agony on a physical level with his harlot wife that God experienced. When his people are unfaithful to him in their pursuit of other gods, idols by the dozen, although we may not actually offer sacrifice to a physical idol, whatever comes between me and our relationship to God is still an idol. And thus, a form of spiritual adultery, although sex may not be involved, Whatever rules us in our is our God. Did you hear that? Whatever rules us is our God. Be it food, sex, diversion, sports, money, power, and the pursuit of a career, video games, television, a possession, our children, a religious cause, and it goes on. What do? According to Matthew 18:18, we bind the strong man of whoredoms this morning, and we command him to loose and let us go. We loose the Spirit of God and the pure spirit, and we see it available in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I got one more. When you and I realize what this lesson will be, it won't sound like a message for Easter. But I can tell you this, he didn't come out of the grave to let the people be the same as when they went in. He didn't come out of the grave to just say, hallelujah, he's risen. He came out of the grave, he took the keys of heaven and hell, and he said to the enemy, you're done. It is finished with you. Did he have an awareness of all these demon spirits that were operating without any kind of response by the religious folks of his day? Think about that. Dwell on that for a while. He was exposing and delivering the people that were in bondage from all kinds of demonic forces. You say, well, why bring this up on Easter Sunday? It's Resurrection Sunday. It's time to come out of the old habits. It's time to have a new declaration out of your hearts. And it's time to be able to walk and say, these things will not use me, not with my permission. If you have an amen for me, just wave your hand. Got it? The last one I'm going to give you today is called the perverse spirit. And it is fluent and available almost everywhere you watch television. You go to shows, you go to this or that, a movie, you'll see it. The perverse spirit is identified in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 14. Here is what some of its attributes are. A broken spirit, evil actions, abortion, doctrinal error, twisting of words, child abuse, sex perversion, chronic worries, incest, pornography, atheist, filthy mind, foolish, contentious. Here's a little bit of a picture of what it does. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Isaiah 19:14. Again, we have a scripture that appears to blame God for the actions of a strong man. The mingling of a perverse spirit in the midst of Egypt. But the evidence of God's word proves that he does not need the help of perverse spirits to accomplish his will on this earth. A better way of interpreting this passage would be that because of Egypt's continual sin, God took his hands off the situation, allowing the perverse spirit to lead the nation into all kinds of problems. Is that ever present in the United States and all over the world? You see it, I see it, it's ugly. We're pulling his pants down today, and he won't like it. But I guarantee you, the Holy Ghost will cover us and will protect us. Are you ready? The straw that broke the proverbial camel's back is found in this verse. where it says the Egyptians sought the help of idols, charmers, familiar spirits, and wizards. That is an automatic hands-off signal where God is concerned. He will not tolerate a divided allegiance. In the first chapter of Romans in the New Testament, equivalent of the above-mentioned Egyptian debacle. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Romans 1:28. When people insist on doing the unnatural, God steps back and a reprobate mind moves in. Hear me when I say it. Listen carefully. When people insist on doing the unnatural, God steps back and a reprobate mind moves in. In this state, they become so twisted that their thinking process, they believe their lifestyle is actually normal. This attitude is evident in the homosexual community today as they seek respectability for their perverted practice. God is always the same. But God's word has not changed. Perversion is still perversion. God didn't create two men or two women in the Garden of Eden. He created a man and a woman and blessed that union. That was I'm getting two pages here. The prototype of sexual behavior for the human race. Times, customs, and philosophies may have changed since the time, but God's word has not. Those who obey the word receive God's blessing, and those who don't not only feel the displeasure of God, but experience the results of their perversion. For this cause, God gave them up to a vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Romans 1:26 and 27. You know, if this was preached on Sunday morning in every church in the United States, there would be humble pie for every single individual that puts up with this without speaking. There's a reason why I'm speaking this today. I shared with you that I had been an attack on my body and my chest and my breast area. And the Lord showed me that because there was a need inside of me, that I needed to pay attention to what he was doing. And the pain didn't let up. It's roughly about 3 weeks now, or 2.5 weeks. It pounds at me during the night. It feels like somebody with an ice pick is puncturing my skin, especially in the area of my breast and in the armpit and a little bit in the arm, a little bit in the back. Well, you say, you told us about this. Yes. The reason I told you is because you need to know that sometimes you're going to get attacked. Sometimes the enemy is going to pick on you, but his intention is to clean you up. His intention is to clean you out. His intention is to purify you so that what is ungodly will be dealt with right now, not when you leave this earth, because then it's going to be too late. He is wanting us to celebrate this, like he said in Revelations 19. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory belongs, and power belongs to our God. For true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. Now I'm going to ask you to do a step of faith for me. I want you to just lift your hands to the Lord. And I know if you repeat it out loud, it's going to get confusing. But repeat it in your heart with me. The 24 elders and four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen. Hallelujah. Then a voice came from heaven's throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude. That's you and me. Like the roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. My God reigns. Sing it with me. Our God reigns. Our God reigns, my God reigns, my God reigns. May his anointing and these words that I release to you really work in your hearts, each and every one of you. That which was needed this morning to identify who has caused the issues of life to be sometimes so difficult because you keep looking in the old mirror, looking in the back mirror and saying, oh, my failures, my failures, my failures. Today, I say to each and every one of you, stop looking back and look at who paid the price. Look at the blood of Jesus falling off the cross. Sprinkled on the ground, sprinkled over every one of his creation, setting us free from death, setting us free from every interference of darkness, every force of darkness that has tried to destroy our bodies and our soul, and not to succeed. For today is really a time of resurrection out of the old and into the front view mirror. No more looking back, but looking in the front. Looking at the big windshield, looking out of the wonderful window of life that he's prepared for us so that we don't go back, but look back and say, God, it was for then, I was that, I had that problem, and now it's no longer mine. Jesus paid the price. His blood has washed me completely clean, and his blood is keeping me clean because he doesn't quit. He doesn't stop. His spirit doesn't get tired of healing each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Last little comment. I was up for quite a while during the night because my body was being attacked. And I struggled. I cried out for mercy. I cried out for what God wanted. And finally, the heaviness let go. So I had breakfast, Irene and I. And then I said, well, I'm going to go downstairs because she was getting ready upstairs. And I went in the shower room and I shaved, got myself ready, and started the water in the shower. I took off my robe, and to my surprise, my whole body was full of red blotches under my arm, in the back, all over my breast. It looks like the color of a red raspberry. It's all inflamed a little bit. It doesn't hurt, but it showed what the enemy did. Why am I saying this to you? Because I saw this when I saw other people getting attacked. You say, what do you mean? When a negative force is being threatened, it's going to do something. Some of these things that I've shared with you this morning have a personal connection to some of the things that happened to me over the years. And I know this is deliverance time. This is the time where I know that the enemy cannot do any more damage. His day is done. I'm coming out of the old and I'm going to go forward in the new, and I'm going with you. Every single one of you, whatever background pain you've had, whatever type of hurts and abuse that you've gone through, Jesus is big enough by his spirit to clean up this house. And that means your house and my house. Am I worried? Absolutely not. Oh, this might. I will not bow to fear. I will not bow to the darkness. I will stand my ground and stay focused on this resurrection. I'm coming out of the old, rising out of the dust, and I'm taking my victory with you, all of us together. Hear me now. All of us together are in victory because of who came out of the grave, creating an awesome, awesome time for our future.